Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here again, sifting through the noise to bring you, well, the signals that really count. And today, we're tackling something pretty significant in cybersecurity. It's less a single new threat, more like a whole new way threats are being built. We are diving deep into PromptLock. It's the first ransomware we've seen documented that actually uses artificial intelligence, you know, AI, to run its attacks. The implications here are, frankly, huge. We're moving beyond static threats. We're potentially facing adversaries that adapt in real time. It's AI not just automating, but making malware almost alive.
Exactly. That's a perfect way to put it. It really is a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
We've seen ransomware evolve, sure, but incrementally. PromptLock, even as it is now, shows attackers weaponizing powerful AI that's, you know, publicly available. Just think about that. Malware that doesn't just run code someone wrote months ago, but learns, adapts, and writes its own attack plan just for your system. That's the future it's pointing towards.
Mm-hmm.
So in this deep dive, we'll walk you through the tech, the implications, and crucially, what this means for your own digital safety in this rapidly changing landscape.
A powerful frame indeed. Okay, let's get right into PromptLock. What makes it so different, so revolutionary? At its heart, it's ransomware using machine learning to generate adaptive attack strategies in real time. That's the key phrase. It's not rigid, not prescriptive. It molds itself to the target. And the AI it uses, this is where the weaponizing public AI bit really hits home. It's OpenAI's GPT-OS.20B model. But interestingly, not via their main commercial APIs, it's routing through something called the Llama API.
Right, and that choice of a Llama, it was pretty clever from an attacker's perspective. A Llama lets you run these big language models either locally, like on your own machine, or on private servers they control. That gives them much more stealth, much more control over the prompts they're feeding the AI, compared to, say, a public cloud API that's probably got more monitoring, more rules. It's key for operating under the radar.
Okay, so it's using this AI via a Llama, but the output isn't a big clunky program, right? It's generating Lua scripts dynamically. Why Lua? What's the advantage there?
That's a critical point.
Yeah.
Using Lua for dynamic script generation, it's incredibly significant. Lua is lightweight. It's embeddable, fast, versatile. It means PromptLock can generate and run very specific, tailored instructions right then and there without making itself a huge, obvious program. It's agile. Think about it. A threat that can write new parts of itself as needed, specifically for the environment it's in, without carrying around a massive library of every possible attack. That's like trying to hit a moving target that keeps changing shape. Really tough for traditional defenses that look for known patterns, known signatures.
Right. A moving target. So a stealthy, adaptable brain running on a lightweight body. Let's dig into the architecture then. The core is a Golang framework, talking to those AI servers through proxy tunnels.
Exactly. And Golang is a smart choice, too. It's known for performance, handling lots of things at once, perfect for building these kinds of network tools efficiently. Combine that with proxy tunnels, you get big advantages. The tunnels hide the traffic, making it harder to trace back. And maybe more importantly, this whole server-client setup lets the malware on your machine stay tiny, lightweight, while still tapping into that powerful AI somewhere else. It means it can adapt its behavior based on your system without needing a giant AI model bundled inside it. It's like a tiny field agent getting instructions from a supercomputer back at HQ.
A tiny agent with a cloud superbrain. Fascinating. But how does that brain, the AI, know what to tell the agent? Our sources mention a sophisticated prompt-based system, so pre-written instructions telling the AI what kind of malicious code to generate. Can you elaborate on that? What do these prompts actually do?
Yeah, absolutely. These prompts, they cover the whole attack lifecycle. They're not just vague commands. They are very specific instructions. We're talking intelligent reconnaissance. The AI isn't just scanning. It's trying to understand the system's layout, find the crown jewels, spot weaknesses, then identifying files, pulling data out, and, of course, encryption. The Lua scripts, driven by these prompts, do the heavy lifting locally, like mapping out the file system, closely inspecting files. This lets it prioritize. Maybe focus on the most valuable data based on keywords or recent activity, not just blindly encrypting everything it sees. You can imagine a prompt like, find me the 10 newest unencrypted PDFs with financial report or client data inside and get them ready to send out. That level of adaptability, It really makes you ask, okay, if it's so smart, what kinds of systems is it built to attack?
That is the critical question. If it's that dynamic, it's surely not just aimed at one type of system or file. What kind of targeting does this enable?
And that brings us neatly to one of PromptLock's most worrying features, its multi-platform capability. It's designed to run on Windows, Mac OS, and Linux. That's pretty much everything.
Yeah.
This massively expands its potential victim pool. And what's really interesting and frankly concerning is how it achieves this. It's not like they built three separate versions. No, it comes back to those AI-generated scripts. The AI is prompted to generate the right Lua code for whatever operating system it finds itself on. Windows, Mac, Linux, it adapts its methods on the fly. Okay. It's like an attacker who instantly becomes fluent in the native language of whatever system it lands on.
That versatility, wow, a huge advantage for the attackers, as you said. Okay, let's shift to the damage, the encryption itself. PromptLock uses spec 128-bit encryption. Now, that's interesting. Isn't that usually for things like RFID tags, lightweight stuff? What does that choice tell us?
Yes, spec 128 is a bit unusual for ransomware. It's functional, definitely, but it's generally chosen for speed and efficiency, especially where resources are tight, like in those embedded systems you mentioned. It's not typically known for, say, the sheer brute force resistance you might expect in high-stakes ransomware targeting big companies. So its use here suggests that PromptLock, at least in the version analyzed, might be prioritizing getting the job done quickly over having the absolute strongest possible encryption, which again kind of hints at its current, perhaps experimental, stage. But, and this is important, we can't just focus on the encryption. PromptLock also uses the double extortion model. This means before it encrypts anything, it steals data, copies sensitive files out. This ramps up the pressure massively. You're not just locked out, you're also facing the threat of your private information being leaked or sold. It's a nasty combination. It really puts victims in a terrible position.
That's a crucial point. It's not just about access anymore. Okay, some very important context here for everyone listening. Security researchers are stressing that PromptLock seems to be a demonstration tool right now. It's not something they're seeing deployed widely in active attacks. And there are clues pointing to this, right? The encryption standard, like you said, may be weaker than typical. Placeholder Bitcoin addresses for ransom. Features that seem incomplete. Plus, it showed up on VirusTotal, but without loads of alerts from security tools out in the real world, which also suggests it's more of a lab specimen for now.
Exactly. And while it's somewhat reassuring, it's not rampaging across the internet today. We absolutely should not dismiss it just because it's a proof of concept. The potential it demonstrates is what's alarming. And there's another layer here, apparently. A security researcher claimed they created it and it was leaked without permission. This whole situation really highlights the, you know, tricky ethical lines in AI security research and the absolute need for responsible disclosure. But rest assured, the security community is taking this very seriously. They're analyzing it, learning from it, trying to get ahead of threats like this. It's a wake-up call.
Okay, so it's a demonstration, a potent one. What does this wake-up call mean for you, for the wider cybersecurity world? One big thing seems to be lowering the barrier to entry for cybercrime, AI automating the complex coding. Does that mean less skilled people could launch sophisticated attacks?
That's a huge concern. This idea of the democratization of malware development.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. If the hardest part, the actual coding and making it adaptive, can be handed off to an AI, then yes, it could potentially open the door for more people to create advanced threats. That could mean more attacks, more varied attacks coming from actors who maybe couldn't have pulled it off before. More noise, more danger.
More actors, more attacks. And beyond just the number of attacks, it changes the nature of them too, right? Enhancing operational flexibility and evasion. Malware generating unique code each time. That sounds like a nightmare for traditional defenses that look for known fingerprints, known signatures. How do defenses even cope?
That is the multi-million dollar question, isn't it? If the malware's fingerprint, its signature, changes every single time it runs, then yeah, signature-based detection is basically blind. It forces defenses to evolve. We have to rely much more on sophisticated behavioral analysis, watching what the software does, not just what it looks like. Is it trying to access weird files? Encrypt things, talk to suspicious servers, connecting that to the bigger picture. The AI allows the malware to tailor its behavior, not just generically, but based on the specific system it's on. The defenses it sees. It's like a chameleon that doesn't just change color, but instantly learns the best camouflage for whatever new rock or leaf it lands on.
A chameleon learning on the fly. Unsettling, but a clear picture. And it's crucial to understand, PromptLock isn't happening in a vacuum. It's not some isolated fluke. We saw a very real, very active example of AI and malware just recently, didn't we? With the Lamehug campaign back in July. Right, Lamehug. Attributed to the Russian APT28 group, state-backed hackers. Also using large language models Hugging Face, Alibaba's Qwen model, to generate Windows commands dynamically. This isn't theory anymore, is it?
Absolutely not. And this is the key takeaway for you listening. Lamehug being used in active cyber operations by a major threat actor. It proves AI-powered malware is already here. It's moved from the lab, from proof of concepts, into practical real-world use. This tells us the whole cybersecurity world needs to brace for much wider use of AI by attackers.
Yeah.
The future isn't knocking, it's kicked the door in.
So PromptLock is the warning shot, LameHug is the live fire. These developments signal a fundamental shift. We're facing attack methods that are just more adaptive, more resilient, more sophisticated than ever.
Which means, quite simply, that defenders have to evolve too. We need to build defenses that are just as smart, just as adaptive, incorporating AI into detection, into response.
Yeah.
It's not a nice to have anymore. It's becoming absolutely essential to even stand a chance against these AI-boosted attacks. It's an arms race, and the other side just got a serious upgrade.
And that really sums it up. A deep dive into PromptLock. What feels like the dawn of AI-powered ransomware. We've looked at its revolutionary AI approach, its worrying multi-platform reach, and the huge implications for cybersecurity's future, underscored by real threats like LameHug already out there. Thank you truly for joining us on this essential journey to the cutting edge, maybe the slightly scary edge, of cybersecurity.
And as you digest all this, here's something to think about. With AI getting more powerful and easier to access every day, how do we build a security ecosystem where defensive innovation can actually stay ahead of offensive weaponization? And perhaps more personally, what's your role in staying informed, staying protected in a world facing not just today's threats, but tomorrow's AI-driven adversaries?